Okay, so this is the Cinemaniacs, episode number 2, for February 10th, 2008.
Wow, February 10th, huh? There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, cracking my knees.
Okay, so welcome to the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Hi, I'm Jeff. And to my left is, well, Walt.
This is the podcast. We talk about movies, Netflix, DVDs, and everything in between.
Yes.
So this week we're going to be talking about, continuing our Oscar coverage, the Best Actor and Actress nominees. We'll be talking about a couple of the nominated movies. That is Elizabeth, the Golden Age, and Across the Universe.
What was Across the Universe nominated for again?
Surprisingly, not Best Music.
Well, yeah, because it's got to be original music, doesn't it? This isn't really original music.
Exactly. So exactly.
Beatles songs. Anyhow.
That, as a side note, that's why There Will Be Blood was not nominated for Best Music, because apparently Paul Thomas Anderson had used a couple of the songs in a previous movie of his.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a kind of a strange corner to cut.
Yes, it is.
All right. So,
I was looking here to see where Across the Universe came in at.
I would imagine like art direction of some kind, maybe. No, not for art direction. That's strange.
Costume design. That's interesting.
Okay. They made 60s costumes. Okay. We know it's going to lose that one.
So this week we talked about we watched Elizabeth the Golden Age.
Yes, we did. Very beautifully done movie. I'm not a historian, so I don't know how historically accurate it is, but very solid performances from Cate Blanchett, Jeffrey Rush, and Clive Owen. Clive Owen rarely disappoints. You know, he's the man. Overall, very much enjoyed this movie. This dealt with Elizabeth having being pressured and attempting to be overthrown by Mary, Queen of Scots, and the Spaniards, and leading to also the destruction of the Spanish Armada, which, as we know, are all historical events that happened, so we're not really spoiling a hell of a lot here.
No, not at all. It takes place right after where the last movie left off, maybe a few years later. I think she's more settled into her power and comfortable in that respect. Cate Blanchett reprising her role, still doing a fantastic job.
I'm going to give it to her. I got to tell you, I liked the HBO Elizabeth miniseries a little bit better. It seemed a little more gritty and a little more real, a lot more visceral. And Helen Mirren was just amazing. But I really don't want to take anything away from this other one. This was, I believe, a much more artistic view of the subject matter, and that's always nice too. You know, it was I enjoyed it and had, you know, and when it was over, I felt pretty satisfied.
And that one covered this story also with the... Clive Owen's character was Sir Walter Raleigh.
Sir Walter Raleigh, yes. This one didn't deal with... The HBO one didn't deal with Walter Raleigh quite as much. They did deal with the Spaniards and the Mary Queen of Scots aspect. But, yeah, it didn't really focus as much on the possible, quote-unquote, romance between the two of them. Good, you know, definitely both good movies. I would totally recommend either one. Go out and rent the HBO one as well, but definitely see this too.
I didn't see the HBO one, but I like this one better than the first one in the series.
Yeah, this was better. Yeah, this was better than the first one.
More stories. Some characters were more likable, and some characters kind of made me angry. But
yeah,
any more than that, without giving anything away, I can't talk about here. Elizabeth, to sum it up, how many stars would you give that? Elizabeth, the Golden Age.
Another 4 stars.
I would
another
agree
four
with
stars.
That.
All, not like I said. You know what? I tell you, if I hadn't seen the HBO thing with Helen Mirren, I probably would have given it 5. But I would have to give the other thing 5 because it was just a little bit better.
Still enjoyable though.
Oh yeah, no.
Now for those that don't know, we use a 5-star rating system. We only use whole stars. It's exactly the same as the system that Netflix and Amazon.com use.
Yep.
5-star loved it. 4 stars really liked it. 3 stars liked it. 2 stars didn't like it, and 1 star hated it. But so a lot of nominations coming in for Elizabeth. Actress, no, of course, and costume. I guess that's not a lot, but considering that this is a sequel, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, sequels rarely fare that well, you know. Costume design, I could see it winning it. The costumes were quite amazing. Cate Blanchett was you know, always, you know, she rarely gives a bad performance, and she was definitely exceptional in this, definitely warranting at least a nomination.
As she does in so many of her roles, warranting nominations. She's just that good.
Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, she's nominated in a category we already talked about last week.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. The
two nominations, same actress. That's, you know, that's not something that happens often.
Right. She didn't win for her first time up for this, for Elizabeth. Maybe she'll pick it up this time.
Was she nominated last time?
She was.
Huh?
She was. Yeah. The last
good
one. The last one had quite a bit of nominations. Best makeup, which is the only category they won in. Best actress, best art direction, cinematography, costume design, music, and even best picture.
Oh.
But only won the Oscar for best makeup. Not bad.
Nope.
Speaking of best actresses, why don't we go right into that then?
All right. That's a perfect segue right there.
Last week we covered best supporting actors and actresses, and this week best leading actors and actresses.
Yes.
We'll start with the actresses. Ladies first.
Ladies first, always. Cinemaniacs are all about the ladies.
So Cate Blanchett for Elizabeth the Golden Age, we've talked about. Great role, and she was great in it.
Yep. Very strong contender. Julie Christie, very venerable actress, been around for years. I haven't seen this movie.
Away from her. I have it in the mail from Netflix. I'll watch it before the Oscars come out. I don't know anything about the movie, actually.
Not even
I hear high praise from her.
Yeah.
She's like one of the leaders to win it. Simply, if nothing else, then to give it to one of the aging actors or actresses. You know, it's kind of like Al Pacino winning for Scent of the Woman.
Yeah. One of those she should have won for some.
Because she was not nominated for Dr. Zhivago.
Right.
So Julie Christie could have won the Oscar for many other times. She was nominated 4 times. Well, including this year, 4 times.
Okay.
She was also nominated for Afterglow in 1998. See that. In 1972, she was nominated for McCabe and Mrs. Miller, and I didn't see that one.
Neither have I.
1966, she was nominated and won for Best Actress for Darling.
All right. Still didn't see that one either.
So these are just her nominated performances, and she certainly had many other performances besides her nominations.
Yeah.
But those are the ones she was actually nominated for Oscars for. So good luck to her this year.
There you go. All right, we got Marion Cotillard for La Vie en Rose, the story of Edith Piaf.
We should be watching that next week, I think.
I believe we'll be watching that next week. Should be interesting.
Yeah. Marion Cotillard was also in Big Fish.
And another movie I actually just recently saw, A Good Year, with Russell Crowe.
Oh, okay.
She was good in it, extremely cute, and very, very much fun. That was actually a very fun movie. And she was quite adorable.
Ridley Scott directed that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, so I'm glad to hear that, because I didn't hear great things about it.
I
think not a lot of people saw it, maybe.
It was very watchable. I enjoyed it. You know, it's about relaxing, enjoying some of the finer, you know, not necessarily the finer things, but like simpler things in life. And just a wonderful movie and a good performance by Marion. Thought she was wonderful.
Russell Crowe, how was he in it?
Russell Crowe his character was supposed to be kind of a jerk, but he was still quite likable, so he was very much the likable jerk. Wow, that really came together badly. But anyhow, yeah, basically it's his character sort of loses his path on the way to success and then kind of finds some of the things in life that he really enjoyed as a younger man and as a young boy, and when he inherits this vineyard and basically realizes what his life needs. That's pretty simple without giving too much away.
But it's an enjoyable movie.
Definitely enjoyable movie. I would give it 4 stars.
It 4 stars. Nice.
Yeah. All right. So next up would be Laura Linney for The Savages.
I really thought I was going to get to see The Savages. And we still got a couple weeks yet. I might be able to see it. Laura Linney always puts in a good performance.
Love Laura Linney.
In fact, I think we even talked about her last week. That I just enjoy her and everything.
Yeah. She does. She does sweet very well. She does bitchy very, very well.
That's right.
And just a very versatile actress. and always puts in 100%. I even saw her in that Robin Williams movie, Man of the Year. Political one?
Right.
And even in that movie, she was not necessarily likable, but very sympathetic. She plays the software programmer that discovers whatever discrepancy is at the heart of the matter and really ends up going through quite a bit and becomes a very sympathetic character, you know, played very, very well, even in what I consider a subpar movie, substandard movie.
Which I hear The Savages is not. That is actually very good.
No, I mean, you got her and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, look out. Yeah, that's one I would love to see before the Oscars come out. But if not, I will see it, and then I'll just rave and gush because, you know, I love both those guys.
Yep. And finally, for Best Actress, we have Ellen Page, nominated for Juno.
I got to tell you, I haven't seen Juno, but I could root for her just based on Hard Candy.
That's right. I loved Hard Candy. That was
Candy
a fun movie.
It's a hard movie to watch. It's a bit disturbing, but what a performance. I mean, there's really just two of them in there, and, you know, she owned him. She owned that movie. She owned that story. She owned that character.
I did see Juno, and she was fantastic. In fact, perhaps even better than in Hard Candy. Certainly a better movie, and I loved Hard Candy.
Yeah.
But Juno was fantastic, as we'll find out next week in some other nominations it picked up. But Ella Page is well-deserving of that.
Excellent. Yeah, I think I'm kind of in my heart half-rooting for her because she just impresses me.
Definitely. So that finishes off Best Actress.
All right. Now to the actors.
Best actors. Right. We have George Clooney and Michael Clayton. Now, last week, or our last show, I mentioned that I hadn't seen Michael Clayton. I have seen it now, and it was really good.
Oh, yeah?
And George Clooney, he played George Clooney, but it was a little bit step up because he worked for a law firm, but he's more of, as I said, he's a fixer in the law firm.
Right.
When people get into trouble or things go wrong, he jumps in there to fix things up. Right away in the beginning of the movie, one of their clients, has a hit and run. Well, he gets into an accident and he drives away and he tries to solve it. You know, he calls the right attorneys to get things done, criminal attorneys and such, and just very easily, you know, like a cleaner, and corrects the problem as best as he can, as best as able to.
Right.
Well, that now they have one of their attorneys for the firm is kind of goes a little loopy, and George has to step in and fix some things, trying not to give too much away.
Tom Wilkinson, the one that goes loopy?
Tom Wilkinson, yeah.
Yeah, love me some Tom Wilkinson.
And so he has to investigate, or not even investigate, but just try to solve the cover-up, and Tom Wilkinson's not, you know, he's going a little crazy that he doesn't want to stop a cover-up. He wants to go all the way,
right?
You know, perhaps even ruining the company.
So how about George's performance in this movie?
Like I said, he's George Clooney, which is always great.
Oh, yeah.
It's enjoyable, likable to watch. I don't know if his best actor performance.
Yeah.
Not that the nomination's not worthy, because George Clooney playing George Clooney deserves it.
George Clooney rarely disappoints. I mean,
exactly.
I think I was talking to your wife. He's this generation's Cary Grant. You know?
Without a doubt.
Cary Grant is always Cary Grant. That's enough.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's enough to be Cary Grant.
You can do comedy, you can do dramas, and equally good in both.
Yes,
is
absolutely.
Enjoyable to watch them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is a movie I do hope to see before the Oscars, because it is coming out before, so.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
I think next week it comes out.
Yeah. I think I'll be able to sneak that one in just in time.
Next up, Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
All right. This movie I haven't seen yet, but I gotta tell you, it's because of the really, really awful trailer.
It's the most horrible trailer.
Yes, the trailer was awful. I mean, you see Daniel Day-Lewis, you hear the name Paul Thomas Anderson, you're like, okay, this could be interesting. And then you see the trailer and you're like, But I've heard nothing but amazing things about this.
This is a really good movie. The trailer, as you said, it just doesn't do it justice. I'm watching it and I'm thinking, is this guy like the devil from Devil's Own?
Yeah.
With Al Pacino? No.
Oh, Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate.
Right.
And, you know, you you can't. They don't really go into it, and they don't really tell much about the story. It's just there it is, accept for what it is. But then you hear the good things. I recommend anybody go out and see it. It rivals No Country for Old Men for Best Picture.
I had a conversation with your wife, and the tone of her voice, the reverence she had for this movie and for Daniel Day-Lewis's performance, was palpable. I could hear it over the phone that she really enjoyed this movie. You know, she was just really impressed.
Daniel Day-Lewis is that hands-down favorite to win this.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else can even come close to his performance in this movie.
Yeah, see. All right. I've got to see this.
Next up is Johnny Depp in Sweeney Todd. He was great in it.
He was great. He was great.
Certainly worthy of nomination.
Absolutely. Once again, he becomes an entirely otherly character. You barely see, you don't see any trace of Johnny Depp. I don't know if there is a Johnny Depp, you know. I think he's
characters. That's exactly why he is such a great actor, because he takes these roles that you don't see Johnny Depp.
No Johnny.
You could talk about Pirates of the Caribbean, but what about Finding Neverland or so many other roles?
Ed Wood.
It's not Johnny Depp. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
It's not Johnny Depp there.
There's no sign of Johnny Depp. You can't see Johnny Depp in any of these characters.
When you see a Tom Cruise movie, that's Tom Cruise there.
Yeah.
Every time. It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
George Clooney, I mentioned. But they're great.
George Clooney, yeah.
But they are who they are.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp is not Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is definitely one of our greatest American actors, period. Mm-hmm.
If he won this award, I would not be disappointed. He's certainly worthy of it. If nothing else for his past performances, this performance could get it.
He's got strong competition this year.
Strong competition. Tommy Lee Jones. Now, this is In the Valley of Elah, which I believe comes out on DVD this week also, and I have not seen it yet, so I have to pick that up.
Yep. Well, if he got nominated for this as opposed to No Country, I'm very curious about this performance, because
certainly
he was very good in No Country for Old Men.
He sure was.
I mean, that's, just definitely one of my favorite movies this year.
Definitely. And finally, Viggo Mortensen in Eastern Promises. Have you seen this yet?
No, not yet.
But you've heard about it.
I've heard about it, and I'm very ashamed to say I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, you've heard about the parts, the movie, the fight scene and such?
No. And that's fine with me. I want to go into this thing on a clean slate.
Let me just say that Viggo Mortensen is very committed to his craft. And the things he does in this movie show you how much that he is.
Nice.
I think he became popular to a lot of people for the Lord of the Rings movies.
Right.
But A History of Violence, which is the other movie that he did with David Cronenberg.
Yep.
Based on a comic book.
Fabulous movie.
Fabulous. And because of him in particular, him and
Ed Harris.
Not even Ed Harris. The bad guy. William Hurt.
William Hurt. Okay. Yeah.
You watch those two together.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And Viggo Mortensen there. You have it in Eastern Promises. He plays a Russian mobster, gangster. Like, not a hitman, but he works very closely with the mafia. Kind of like a bodyguard almost.
Okay.
Getting things done for them. And he is really good. And like I said, committed to his craft. That's all I could say. When you see this fight scene, wow.
All right. I will make it a point to see this before Oscar time.
Definitely. And definitely.
We'll go through some of the ones that I've missed and caught up on when we get right before Oscars.
Okay. That wraps up the Best Actor category.
Definitely a very good selection of actors. All of them greats in their own right.
Sorry.
Can't really, this is really sounding like a very much a kiss-ass episode here. We're sucking up quite a bit. But my God,
you know what?
There's just some good stuff here.
There are. And it's you just, can't say anything is disappointing.
I'd like to go, well, God, that sucked, but you can't.
No. Nope.
There's good stuff here, man. This is a good year for Oscar.
Very good year. Very good year.
So. And I say that knowing full well that Norbit has been nominated for an Oscar. And I can still say that's a good year. Not necessarily in the makeup department, but
Norbit, best makeup nominated for. Who was running against it there? LaVie Rose.
And Pirates of the Caribbean.
And Pirates of the Caribbean, where Johnny Depp was dressed up. You can't recognize him, not to mention the... I don't know if the CG would count as makeup for, like, Davy Jones and such.
Yeah. That Davy Jones character is just wild.
Yeah.
You don't know where the prosthetics end and the CGI begins. They did a really good job with that character.
Very good, very good. One other Oscar movie that we did, Oscar-nominated movie that we watched this week was Across the Universe, which was nominated for Best Costume Design. And Across the Universe tells a story based in the 60s, based around Beatles music, but there's a young guy who comes to America from England.
From Liverpool,
no less. And meets up with a couple young people here. He's young himself. They go to New York, and like so much that you heard of going on in the 60s, the protests against the Vietnam War. He's an artist himself. You know, it just tells a story. A love story is involved in there. I like this movie a lot.
Oh, me too. I had a really good time. Not necessarily there's no deep meaning to it or anything like that. A very beautifully filmed, beautifully made movie. Very funny at times. The music, I'm not going to go get the soundtrack, but it sure is going to make me go out and bulk up my Beatles catalog.
You know, I was looking through my Beatles catalog. All these songs in the movie, they're Beatles songs, but they're not performed by the Beatles. They're re-recorded.
The actors.
And they're good versions of it.
They're good versions.
But I went through some of my Beatles, and I had most of the songs that I wanted to get. And listening to the Beatles ones, some of them I didn't have in my memory as much as these songs. Several days later, I'm still singing the songs from this movie, the versions from this movie in my head.
Oh, yeah.
It stuck with me that much. So when we say that they're singing the Beatles songs, it's just like Moulin Rouge, where they sang all these songs from the 70s and 80s, or talked them, spoke them. Very similar and very entertaining.
Oh yeah! Now what I loved was trying to. You can actually make a game out of what I loved was trying to find the references that weren't directly in song. You know,
sure.
You know, she came in through the bathroom window. That kind of stuff.
Exactly. The characters. You know, Jude was the main character, and his girlfriend was Lucy.
Yep.
So she's all these Beatles names and
yeah,
songs.
Got JoJo and.
What was the one girl's name?
The
Asian girl.
Prudence. You know, it was just wonderful.
It was a very fun movie. I'm inclined to give it 5 stars. I might have to stick with 4 because I really enjoyed it.
No, I could totally give it 5. It was, like I said, you know, the songs I loved, like I said, I don't think they improved on the Beatles songs in any way myself, but they were very watchable, especially within the tone of the movie. The movie itself is just a spectacle, you know.
I'm surprised it didn't get some art direction.
Absolutely. You know? That was my first inclination would be to look for it in the art category. Because I just thought it did, you know. Yeah, but very fun.
Very fun. Very fun, enjoyable. And it's not a musical where every word spoken is a song.
No,
they talk in it, and there is a story. It develops, you know. But when you sit and you hear the music, I mean, how many times you watch a movie and they play a song, and that's a Vietnam War song. You just know that it is.
Yeah.
Or what is it good for?
Right.
That type of thing. You know, boom, you're in that era. Well, the Beatles songs obviously are in the 60s, but here you're telling a story that takes place in the 60s. So it was just a perfect matchup.
Absolutely.
And so inventive how they pulled all these songs together and put them into a story.
You know,
a lot of time and effort was designed.
I mean, Uncle Sam singing I Want You, how amazing was that? You know? How great was that?
Very good, very good. Across the Universe.
Yep.
Good movie.
Definitely. 5 stars for me.
I think that's all we have to talk about this episode.
All right. Well, we had a lot of fun, you know. This episode doesn't sound like we disliked a lot, but there wasn't much to dislike this week. We actually hit the mark with a lot of our rentals and our viewing. So.
And speaking of rentals, with Netflix, when you go up to their website, it's very important to rate the songs there. You rate on their star system.
You rate the movies.
Rate the movies.
Yeah.
Sorry. The movies. Based on your ratings, they'll recommend other movies to you.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there's a movie that you want to see, you can go up to their website and look up that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a movie that you want to see, you can see what it will it will give you like a recommendation of what you think how many stars you will give it. I don't know if I said that clearly enough. But say Across the Universe, you go to the website, it tells me I'm going to give it 4.2 stars. Well, that's a pretty good recommendation, so I'll go ahead and watch it. Whereas maybe there's another movie, it tells me only 2 stars. I'm not going to be inclined to watch that movie. Because the more movies you rate on Netflix, the more accurate the recommendation system is.
Absolutely.
And so take advantage of that, people. That way you get to see more good movies and less of the bad ones.
That's a good recommendation.
With that, we're out of there this week. Next week, we'll finish up our Oscar coverage with Best Director and Best Picture, and we'll see if we can see any more of those Oscar-nominated movies.
Till next time, night. I'm Jeff.
I'm Walt. Have a good night. Say, walk in space and out. Say, one, just shut up, baby. You keep skipping, skipping, skipping. I'm freaking.